This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio. Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. It's 4:01. Welcome to Friday afternoon and express yourself. Today on Express Yourself, I'm going to bring you some audio from Brian Colley, the gallery manager over at R2 Gallery in the Launchpad. He's been putting together the 42nd Value Visual Arts Show and spent the last week or so talking to some of the artists involved. We've been working across time and space on today's episode of Express Yourself. So stay tuned for words and comments from about 10 of the 50 artists involved in the show. That's what's coming up this hour. Stay tuned.
I'm Brian Colley. I'm the gallery manager for Carbondale Arts, and I'm joined here at the Valley Visual Art Show with Richard Sundin, who is a photographer. And I wonder if you would mind describing your piece for this show for the listening audience.
Yeah, hi. This is a black and white photograph that I took in Utah in a sand dune field, and it's pretty interesting and stark and black and white. It's something that I've been doing for a while, but during this these days of social distancing and everything, I found that a good place for me to be is in the desert, where there's one person for every 100 square miles seems safe enough. So I've gone to Utah desert and wandered around, and I keep finding something interesting. You can go back to the same place the next day and it's different. So it's a good place to work, and I found that this was one of the intriguing things I found that day in the desert, which I think was my birthday this year. So
oh wow. Yeah, celebrating a COVID birthday isn't always the funnest thing to do over the year, but it's good to get away. Do you go to the Utah desert a lot?
I do, especially during this past year. Yeah, I like the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular place is really in the middle of nowhere. It's 30 miles of dirt road sent from any paved road.
Oh wow.
You don't see very many people out there, and mm-hmm. it's always something interesting, I find. Working in the desert, I find that within an hour or so of sunrise or sunset is where you can get some dramatic shadows and everything. It's completely mm-hmm. different at noon. Mm-hmm. It's a real squinting kind of a experience.
When did you take this photo?
This would have been morning around 8:30, probably, okay. Something like that, mm-hmm. With the sun pretty low.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what time of year was it?
This would have been October 24th of last year.
On your birthday.
On my 70th birthday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And for anyone who hasn't seen the show, it's called The Edge. That's what the piece you've titled it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have this kind of remarkable slice through the middle of the landscape, where one edge of the desert is going out from the viewer, and the next moment, after this edge, it kind of cuts down almost like a wall, but you said maybe it's not as vertical as it looks.
Well, it's strikingly vertical if you're standing there and say, how does a bunch of sand stay that upright? And then also, the textures, everybody knows that waves are caused by wind, and then the ripples in the sand, that's wind blowing. Mm-hmm. But when you get this weird, it looks like a bunch of sausages in some places. it's just
right.
a lot of ripples, and it goes in one direction and quickly turns another. And how is it possible that sand can, that wind can do that? It's, it'd be an interesting...
Yeah, it's like the forces of nature at work.
Yeah, and tomorrow it's different.
What's your, if I could ask, what's your background as a photographer? Have you been doing that for a long time?
Yes, I have. I first, my first interest in photography was more or less an easy A in college. I didn't really have much art background, but...
So you're a natural.
Yeah, born. It was, I think, in my liberal arts coursework, some fine arts was required, and photography, who isn't interested? And I was hooked quickly. The guy who taught the course was a it's basically an advertising photographer. He did soap boxes or what have you. And I asked him, you know, what would you advise someone to do to get into this field or to pursue that interest further. And he and I went down to his studio when he was setting up a shoot for the next day, and we chatted, and he said, don't go to photography school or study that particularly, because anybody can learn to work a camera. So go to art school and learn to see.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So...
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. So I... Dropped my economics degree and went to art school.
Wow.
And while I was at art school, we had visiting artists come occasionally, an artist came. It was very, very successful at the time, and somebody asked him, what would you... Similar question. What would you tell a young up-and-coming artist, photographer, he says, get the hell out of here and go out of here and take some pictures. I think his expression was burn some film.
Burn some film.
That was Gary Winogrand. And so I dropped out of art school.
Wow.
And one of the things I had learned early in art school was this art history, and talked about the apprentice, Renaissance or wherever, that the way you would be educated was you'd go to up to a established artist and do their basic work for them and stuff like that, and you'd learn something. That's the way everybody learned in those days. So I went out to California and knocked on some doors, and believe it or not, in those days Ansel Adams was in the phone book.
Oh my goodness.
And I was fortunate to be in his home and in his dark room. And,
oh my gosh.
And Brett Weston, I visited with him as well, Wynn Bullock, which was stunning to me to look him up in the phone book and say, can I come by? He said, well, not now, but a little later. So.
And how old were you at this point?
27, maybe.
Yeah, wow, 20, that's amazing.
26, 27.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you.
This is Sing from Desiron Douglas and Brandy Younger. All right, we started you off with one photographer from the Valley Visual Arts Show. Let's go with another who isn't photographing from the desert. She brought a photograph from Iceland. Uh,
My name is Esther Nooner, and I live here in the Roaring Fork Valley in Snowmass, and I work at Anderson Ranch Art Center. I graduated with my MFA in 2018. I've been working in landscape, lens-based, kind of photo-based work since about 2017, so in my last year of grad school. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wasn't always land, but then it kind of developed into that and in research and stuff like that. So. Mm-hmm.
And tell us about the piece you have in this show.
So part of how I became, I never really thought I would become a landscape photographer per se, but I did by traveling to Iceland. And I got to go a couple times and was really just sort of captivated with how they like took care of their land and nature. And that's actually where this image is taken. It's on a black sand beach. And then I came back to America and kind of, you know, saw a huge difference between how they cared for their landscape and then how we, you know, trash it, in essence. And so I came back from Iceland. I had thousands and thousands of images. And I felt that, you know, looking at them on a computer screen or in a small print, it just kind of didn't do it justice. And so I started manipulating the images and thinking about them more as objects and thinking about the nature and landscape in more of an objective way. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of snowballed to thinking about viewership and how photographs are treated, you know, historically as like these windows into space or a mirror. That's like a famous theory for photographs. Mm-hmm. And so I essentially just cut a window out of the photograph and sort of gave the viewer that like jolt of reality that it is object, that it is ink on paper, but denied them that like pleasure of viewing the center of the image, which is, you know, quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it's a very romantic image, but then it's just sort of diced up in a nice aesthetic way.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't come seen the show in person, when you walk in, it's in the first room on your right hand side, and it is just like a vinyl, basically like a giant sticker.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That you've printed the photo on.
Yeah, the vinyl became, you know, something like another element that I was adding to this body of work and printing on things that weren't framed. It wasn't like this perfect photograph. And then the vinyl sort of, you know, you could read industrial sort of like really intense material that we use that gets discarded. And like we were just talking about, this image is kind of a one-time use installation because it does stick directly to the wall. And when you take it off, it becomes damaged. It's like no more. And I used to be really obsessed with one-time use plastic. I was really against it. And then I sort of integrated that into how I think about nature and landscape. So that's kind of where that came from.
And how did you choose the photo? Since you took thousands of photos, this must be a hard choice.
It was a hard choice, and in my like studio practice, I do a lot of like playing, and I cut images in a lot of different ways, and I've burned them, ripped them, you know, all sort of that like really destructive kind of way. But I still wanted to maintain that like really that beauty that is associated with landscape representation. Mm-hmm. And this one, I feel like it's just so peaceful and serene and beautiful, and the colors are just so like nice, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful image. Mm-hmm. And if you ever see the real thing, it's very symmetrical. Mm-hmm. Like it's a fjord where there's two like sides come and they meet perfectly, and I just completely denied that to the viewer altogether. So that's what was one of the, I thought that was successful for that type of manipulation.
It's so interesting to see a piece of art that just totally removes the center, like the focal point.
Yeah.
And so the focal point is actually the nothingness, like the window that is just the bare wall.
Exactly. It's the gallery wall. It's elevating, you know, that whole, we elevate everything to the status of whatever the status is by putting it on a wall. We memorialize it and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all that kind of comes to play with this type of work. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so you are manipulating your current works, your photos.
Mm-hmm.
What other, you've ripped and burned and
yeah.
Is that sort of in the same theme of, you know, the one-time use, the single use?
Sure.
And then what happens with it?
You know, that's a good question. Sometimes some of the pieces that I work on, they end up in the trash can.
Like,
you know, but that's just kind of what studio practice is. Like, you work, you work, you work, mm-hmm. and then maybe you get one thing out of 20 things. But now I'm working on a piece that I've used... Like, I've printed these massive, beautiful landscapes that are, like, 40 by 60.
Whoa.
And they're, like, perfectly printed, and they're beautiful.
Oh, my God.
And now I'm going to mount them, and now I've used, like, paint thinner, and I've sanded off the ink, and I've tried to destroy it as much as possible. Whoa. So I'm really excited to see where that goes, but we'll see.
Is this what you're working on at Anderson Ranch?
Mm-hmm. It is. I've been in the printing process now, and now it's going to head to my actual studio space where I can use some intense sandpaper and then grit it.
Wow.
Get it all off. Because I tried to use a lot of chemicals that... It didn't do anything. I wanted, like, acid to burn the paper. I wanted it to be, like, really, really destructive. But the inkjet paper is built so in, like, such an archival manner that even pouring hydrochloric acid on it didn't do anything.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So I had to, like, which kind of I'm okay with. I just had to get, like, physical, and I had to actually sand the ink off of the paper.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it's just... kind of playing around, see what works, what doesn't. And
you think about it out there in nature, and it's just gonna nature is not just sitting there like sanding away, but I mean, it kind of does over millennia.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being in this show.
Of
it's
course
a real pleasure.
Of course. I'm happy to be with local artists and support local artists.
Thanks, Esther.
Of course.
This is A Thousand Shapes of Change from Tommy Guerrero. It's a lot of R's. All right, let's hear from another artist from the 42nd Valley Visual Art Show. Another person inspired by the natural world and landscapes. This is Larry Day.
Hi, this is Larry Day. And I have a piece in the 42nd Annual Valley Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled Spring Gulch. And it's a painting. I think I did this painting, I think it was actually maybe in the summer. Or fall. But in there, maybe September, up at Spring Gulch. It's a watercolor of the mountains from... I don't know which, I think looking south off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lone cow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because when I was painting this painting, there was a herd of cattle walking by. I was painting this painting without any cows in it at all. I started it. And so I had it almost finished, and I saw these cows walking by almost on cue.
Huh.
And they left, and there was one stray cow that was just hanging out doing whatever a stray cow does, whatever they're thinking. But
and you captured it.
And I'll just paint this one cow in there. It's interesting because this landscape has a lot of browns, and those brown greens of the fading colors from summer, so the colors are turning, and it's you can see the mountains in the distance, so I hit those with some faded color of blues back there. And in this piece, the interesting thing to me, too, was that this cow was completely black. So it was like a silhouette, which I thought contrasted with all of the rest of the landscape very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting, too.
And you painted this on site, I imagine?
I painted it on site. I think that might have been maybe the third or fourth painting that day.
Oh, wow.
Because I like to sit down and... So around here, you know, you can just sit in one location, paint a painting, and then turn like 90 degrees as Sergeant would say, and you can do another one.
Yeah, it's hard to find a bad view around here. We're lucky like that.
Yeah.
Can you tell the listening audience about your background a little bit as a painter, if people don't know you that well?
I started studying painting when I was probably 1976. So now you can tell my age. So, and I studied with a guy named Gerald Merfeld in oil painting. And the palette I used, I adopted to my watercolor palette. So I didn't really know how to paint in watercolors. I'd already painted in oil, so I switched to watercolors. And the reason I used the same palette was because that's the only thing I knew.
Like the same color palette?
Yeah, the same color palette.
Okay.
Yeah, which later I found out a lot of watercolors don't use that palette. But it was too late. I was already hooked. So I added a couple more colors by looking at Winslow Homer's palette and John Singer Sargent's palette. I was curious, what did they use? And the reason I started painting in watercolor was because I worked in Chicago for like 30 plus years in an advertising agency at Leo Burnett. And so when I started working, I didn't have any time to paint in oils anymore, or air, you know, it stinks everything up. So I had no studio space that I could, you know, that you could have linseed oil and stuff. So I picked up watercolor and started painting the city of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I learned, really. I didn't take any watercolor classes.
Oh, wow.
It just kind of...
You're self-taught.
I am in watercolor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not in oils, but, you know, this show is amazing. In the space you have, it feels much larger, and whoever curates this, I don't know if you do, but it's always consistently just top drawer.
Oh, thank you.
And the lighting is beautiful.
Thank you.
It's like, wow, it makes a difference when you exhibit.
Yeah. We're not paying Larry to say any of these words. He's just coming up with
them. He's giving me a big bottle of scotch.
Yeah, it's this show's special because it's not really curated. We do ask the artist to submit two pieces, and so we can pick one of those if we think it's going to fit well with the other works that we see.
Uh-huh.
But really, it's open to anyone of any ability, so it's the whole gamut and the whole valley. And that's one reason this show is so special, because it is open to anyone. And so we're lucky this year. It's such a great combination of work.
It's a nice show.
Sky Mountain Reflection. Maybe I'll get better at titling my work, but that's pretty descriptive of it. It's an encaustic with oil pastel, and I made this in my class last semester at CMC. I'm in a studio art class with Kay Cesark. Yeah, and so she's introduced me to encaustic, and it's really wonderful. You can mix in oil paints, so some of the color in there is oil paint as well.
Just because I'm not very artistically inclined, I know a lot of our listeners. Can you describe what encaustic means?
Yeah, sure. Encaustic is a combination of beeswax and pine resin.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's melted wax, essentially. So the way I made this piece was I started with a wooden panel, and I primed it with some gesso, encaustic gesso, and then I mixed the oil paints in with the wax. I have little pots of different colored wax, essentially. And then I kind of just painted with the wax on the panel. And then I came back in, and you heat it as you go. So you have like a heat gun or a torch, and you melt the wax. And so there's all kinds of different things you can do in that moment when the wax is melted. And then I came in with oil pastels, and then I melted some more, and I kind of went back and forth just really experimenting with the medium. So it has a real tactile feel to it.
And really, it has a lot of texture to it, yeah, as well, the finished piece. Mm-hmm. It's like little ridges, but they're really small. I mean, like kind of like micro ridges. And
yeah, you can do all kinds of textures in there with, depending on how you move the wax around with different tools, or just kind of the way it dries, kind of the randomness of it is what I like.
Cool. So some degree, you're kind of at the mercy of how it dries.
Yeah, it's definitely, which I like that. Like, just, I mean, I'm only just figuring it out. This is really one of my first pieces, so it's kind of fun to see what you can do. I'm really excited to explore the medium more. And
I have to say, compared to a lot of artistic processes, that one sounds like it probably smells really good.
Yeah.
The pine resin and beeswax.
It does. It is nice, but it's also kind of a little bit volatile, because if it gets too hot, it releases these basically poisonous gases.
Oh.
So you have to be careful. You have to have really good ventilation to work with it, which is part of why I haven't... I'd like to, once I start working with it, I'd want to have that pretty well dialed in.
Oh, for sure.
You don't danger yourself. It's just like that with a lot of artistic...
Yeah.
I mean, the oil paints that are in there are probably part of that too.
Right.
When you heat it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, can you describe a little bit? So describe sort of what this is made out of. And you just describe to me like the visual experience of looking at it, the colors and it's a landscape.
Yeah. It's inspired by a beautiful place up on the flat top. It's called Trapper's Lake. And so there's the reflection in the lake of the trees on the edge. And then there's the mountains in the distance. And I'm still just figuring all this out, like how to create the sense of depth. And so the sky is beautiful and swirly with some blues and grays and clouds. And then in the foreground is the sky's reflected, and it's a much brighter blue, and the mountains are reflected in the water. So it's kind of fun how that turned out.
There seems like there's some autumnal colors in your sort of reflective work here in the water. There's some reds and oranges and kind of like deep pink colors.
Yeah, it was in the fall when I was there last in September, and the colors were just really bright. And it's also because that's right before the sunset. And so that glow that you see is kind of the glow on the trees.
Those beautiful.
There's a bunch of dead, tall standing trees there because they had a big fire in the early aughts. Oh. And so it's kind of a dramatic landscape with all these dead standing trees reflected in the lake. So that's part of why I chose that yellow.
Just a question for your work process, too, out of curiosity. Do you tend to like take photographs of the places you are and use those?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I'm discovering now from more experienced artists that that's kind of a no-no. So I'm trying not to be too, but then again, I'm sure my teacher Kay would say, go for it, do whatever works.
Yeah.
But yes, I did. I did work from a photograph.
Well,
I took a photograph
you're
there.
Using
and then
encaustic materials, it's not like you can bring them up to the location.
That's true. It's not as easy to work plein air and encaustic.
Yeah. Awesome. And so this is your first visual art show that you've been
it
in?
It is, and I'm so excited to be in here. I can't tell you. And I think it's a fantastic show. Like, I'm loving every single piece in here. So, yeah, I was going to tell a little story. I grew up in Aspen, and the Aspen Art Museum used to be down by the Roaring Fork River in this wonderful old water, I forget what kind of building it was, but it was just this neat old brick building that they'd, you know, remodel into the art gallery. And they used to have a Valley Artist Show once a year. And that was the only time I ever went to the art museum. That was really like a big party in Aspen. It was a really fun show. And so this kind of reminds me of that. I also hope that, because that influenced me going to those shows as a kid growing up. So I hope lots of people will bring their kids in to see the show.
Yeah, that's great. So in a little bit, too, you said you're working with some of these materials in a CMC class.
Taking studio art with Casey's Arc at CMC in Aspen. So that's a once-a-week studio art class, which is fantastic, learning all kinds of things from Kay. She's an expert. She's a well-known artist in the Valley. And, there's lots of great classes to take at CMC. I'm planning to take another one in watercolor later this spring with Tammy Lane.
Sits beautifully over here, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And glad you made it down. Glad we got to talk.
Thank you so much.